to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. And Coach, we're on our little quest for the common, answering these commonly asked questions by runners. And this was one that I found kind of interesting because, again, kind of like our stretching, we kind of go against the myth and go against the norm sort of. And we kind of bust a couple of those myths. And I wanted to go over those with you. And the question is, what do you eat before and after a run for optimal performance and recovery? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about eating before or after you run. How does that affect your recovery? Do we subscribe to that philosophy?
This is where I think we have definitely where we stand apart. Like, you're right in saying that. So the way I approach it, the way we approach it, is here is what we're going to agree on, that everyone needs to run using the same three elements. And that's what we teach. And then we also teach you how to get there. Like, we use a blend of skill, strength, and self-care to get you to really be good at these three elements. Past that, it is all individual. And the reason I say that is because who cares what I eat for breakfast? In no way affects what you do in your life. Same thing, like, what shoes do you wear? See what I mean? Past the running, yeah. past the gait cycle, past teaching and learning the correct movement for all. How do I get you more efficient in your movement? How do I get you stronger, more skill, more range of motion? All of that is great because we can individualize that, of course, based on where you are. But for everyone, we all can use gravity to fall forward and pull our foot. And we all need to hold our line. So I always say, on that topic, I am so right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will make sure to help you get to the best of your ability there. Everything else, guys, is so personal. And here's the thing. Now, I have an opinion. I'm going to give you advice. And I'm happy to answer questions. And I've tried a lot of these things. Like, I've done the carbo loading. I've done the paleo or keto.
Me too.
So I've done both. I've done the fat thing. But I've not ever done them for dieting. I've only done them for running and performance. So for me, the test wasn't for Valerie needs to, you know, I've looked the same my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just me. So I could, because I learned very early on in my fitness career, if you will, when I first got to college, I got my first job and I knew I'm going to be teaching 3 to 5 times a day. You start to adjust your eating to make sure you can go and teach an hour class without issues. By the way, that went right into my running. You know, like, I want to go run whatever run I want to run without worrying about what's going to happen GI wise. And that's a huge issue for runners. And I've tested out a lot of stuff, so I actually can help runners out. And that's the best part of our community, is they can share with others, like, things that have worked for them. But for most of you guys, you're going to have to test and retest.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Fueling.
Because I can't say to you, you have to eat breakfast and then I don't eat breakfast.
Right. Well, and I think that's so powerful because, like you said, you never really tried these things for diet. But I am one of those people that have been, I was thin and I was chunky. I was thin and I was chunky. And when I was, you know, I did all that stuff. I've tried them all. But even going through that, you would have one runner say, like you said, oh, I have a banana before I run and I feel great. I would throw up within the first mile before I run. So I don't do that. I've had other people say, oh, use salt sticks when it's hot. I used a combination of salt and caffeine, and it was the only thing that kept me going, you know?
Right.
But the same would go with diets. Like, some people would train for a marathon and lose like 30 pounds. I trained for a marathon and gain weight because I was carbo loading. Things like that. Like, oh, I'm going to have double pasta today because I need to carbo load. It was like adding in so much extra that I didn't normally eat. So my point in this, guys, is that I was, if you listen to too many people or listen to people, listen to somebody outside of your own body and your own feelings, you will get led astray and it won't go as well. That's why we really, like, if you were to come to Valerie and say, hey, Valerie, I'm having these GI issues when I go running. She's going to ask you, well, what did you eat before you went? Did you eat before you run? Well, no, I didn't. Well, have you done that before? No. So why are you doing that now, kind of thing? But I think it's really important for people to understand this to them. But do you have an opinion from a physiology standpoint that to any of that?
Just so you know, for that last block, I couldn't hear you.
Okay, that's interesting. Hopefully it got recorded. I'll check on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think what you were asking me was, do I have an opinion on like the carb loading and things like that?
Oh, that's funny because now I can't hear you. We'll have to see how this one goes, guys.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I think she's in a rainstorm right now. So I'll have to look at this. If this gets broken up, guys, we apologize for the edits. But go ahead. And yes, I was asking about your opinion on protein and carbohydrates before, after, like the protein shakes you hear a lot of athletes do.
Okay. So again, I'm going to say the answer is to test and retest to see how that works for you. The reality is most of us have enough energy stored already that we won't really need extra. So for, say you're going to go out any distance that's under a half, most of us really will do fine with just water being hydrated. So really fueling comes in to when you're running distances that are like 2 hours or longer. Now, please don't wait 2 hours and then start fueling. The idea, though, is that if you know you're going to go out for a longer run, you need to test that several times in your training and test it with shorter runs. You know, for a lot of people, they need at least 30 minutes up to an hour plus between eating and running. And then I know people that can eat and go straight out and run, right? So you have to be careful, right? Again, without listening to other people, seeing what works for you. You know, most people will agree that the body does best with a little bit in the system. However, for me personally, I've never been able to run with food. So I generally, my runs are on coffee. So it's a challenge because I also think the body is really good at being efficient. So if you're eating throughout your day a really good balanced variety of foods, you actually probably have plenty to get up the next morning and go for a run.
That's kind of the point. I was going to say, that was kind of the point that I think we need to make, is this idea of loading up on hydration or loading up on protein or loading up on stuff is kind of what gets you into trouble, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And that's, so when they first, by the way, with carb loading, I'm so old, I'm a kinesiology major. And I graduated in 94, so I was in the excitement in the beginning of exercise physiology. And I was the first, I'm the first graduating class that they took us out of. We used to be in the Department of Education because your only career path was going to be PE teacher. And to us, and then they switched it. And when I graduated, it became a science, because we were studying anatomy and physiology and exercise physiology. And they started to realize, like, in America anyway, we were starting to see how exercise benefited people, not just for recreational sport, but in health and wellness. And that was a big change. And running continues to keep up. And I'm a nutrition minor. And when I got my minor in nutrition, again, 90 to 94, diabetes was just becoming type 2 diabetes was just starting to become, now it's epidemic, but back then it was just getting started. And they thought in the beginning that you had to have a carb and protein together. And what they learned is you don't. Your body just needs to have some carb, have some protein, have some fat, right? Just like the three elements, you need the three building blocks of food. And most people, what they find is if they just have less refined sugar and just stay with more, you know, fruit and vegetables, healthy proteins, wow. You know, it's like you start to feel better in your workouts. You start to feel like you have more energy. And I think most people found, even back then, I don't really need supplements. And this is important because when I was in college was when Power Bar first came out. They hadn't even invented goo yet. None of that was out. Gatorade. Yeah. We had Gatorade.
Right.
That was it. That was the excitement. So I had a professor tell us, guys, don't waste money on Powerade. Just have Snickers because it gives you the protein. It has fat, it has protein, and it has carbs. So you could run for hours on. So, and you know what's funny is I did. I actually would sometimes eat Snickers because it was like they were so cheap. And he was right. But now, you know, like just because we know more, do I really want to eat a Snicker bar? Is that really the fuel I want to put in my body? Or would I rather have a healthier option?
And that's so true. When I've run marathons, you know, I've worked with the goo and stuff like that. And I'm usually my GI tract is a lot more sensitive when I'm road running. What was really interesting to me is I happened to run, I've only done one trail run, and I think it was only a 10K, but it was a hot, steamy, overcast Texas morning. And it was a very technical trail. So it really wasn't a lot of running. It was a lot of watching where I was going and making sure I didn't fall down a steep incline, right? And you go out, you went out about the 3 miles, and then you turned around and you came back. And when we got to the 3 mile, you know, marker in trail running, this was new to me. We had the choice of you know, potato chips and Coca-Cola and some other like things that I would never think to eat, but I was famished. I just shoved those. I drank all that soda. I never drink soda when I run, drink all that soda, ate the potato chips, ate all this crap that I would never, I eat normally, but I would never eat on a run. And I felt fantastic. I made it back, and they made you bacon cheeseburgers at the end of the run. It was the best run ever. But I found that fascinating that it was because my brain had worked so hard. My body had been, you know, doing so much different running that I needed this totally different kind of fuel that I didn't would never have even thought of. I would have bought, totally would have brought like goos. I was laughing. Just a little side note here, guys. This was, like I said, a very technical trail run. I had my little running shoes on. I had my little shorts and my little tank top. Totally dressed like a trail runner. And when I got to, or like a road runner, when I got to the station, they were like, eat as much as you want. And I said, I was joking. I said, but my nails, they're breaking. And they gave me this look of, I said, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I realized I did not trust really for this run. But it was really fascinating to me, like you said, like that my body craved different types of foods. And it really made me see the differences in people and in what you're doing and exercises, and that you can't just go with, well, this is what I've always done. This is what I did on the road. This is what I would do in a 10K out on the road. It's totally different when I'm in a different environment.
And so they'll say to people, there's like you should have an A plan. You should have a B plan, and then you'll see what happens. Like that's really common. The one thing to keep in mind, by the way, is the same with trail running. So in the beginning of trail running, so you have to realize a lot of that food is donated, right? So a lot of grocery stores will give people, like, they'll just throw out like, oh, well, runners just need sugar. So all of a sudden you're seeing like Oreos and Pringles and you know, things like that. So, but now today in trail running, it's a lot different. Now you're seeing like chicken broth, and you're seeing things that are they're trying to get away from that. Pickle juice is still very popular, but I will say this, guys, you talk about test and retest. So I got into ultra running, trail running for a while and really enjoyed it. And same thing, my very first 50K, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like a college dorm. There was like Oreos and M&Ms, you know, right? So, however, that's just, again, not normally what I eat. So I did my next 50K, and this was when, now they call it keto, but back then they called it paleo. And the idea was to get your body to be more efficient at just burning fat and protein, minimal carbohydrate. So really against all the carb loading that I'd done in college and, you know, free sugar ride. So I thought, all right, I'll try it. So I actually trained and raced the 50K with only high protein, high fat. And by the way, I had a great race. And a friend of mine came with me and she went like full sugar. Like she did the exact opposite of me. So I actually brought my own food. Like I'd never touched aid station food because I wanted to see if this was going to work. So I had to test it on myself. So I would have water and then I would have this, but it was a mix. It was a protein mix with fat and protein mixed together. And she was over there having the gummy bears and the Oreos and the Pringles. And by the end of the run, by the way, she beat me. She's faster than me. She was so sick though. She was, because it was like, you know, we were out there for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And so we were laughing later though that, you know, if I said to people, what was the difference? Like, how did I feel differently? Well, honestly, I never had any issues. I never had any GI issues. She had a lot, but she was also eating things she doesn't normally eat. So what I'm telling you, as you get older too, you've got to test and retest the food. But I tell people, I've tried all the ways and you just have to be consistent in your training of what you're going to do with your race. And so it really does. And once you find that balance, once you find the foods that make you feel the best when you're running, those are the foods that you tend to want to stick to. So it is fun to try stuff, see if it works for you or doesn't, and then go with what your, you know, like your gut will tell you.
Yeah. Before I wrap this up, I did want to bring up one thing. Like I found that Kung Pao chicken the night before a long run was always beneficial, but, any kind of Mexican, not so much.
So, you see?
Yeah, to wrap this up and to kind of bring it back to working with you. So if I do come into the membership and I do have some issues with diet or maybe I have issues, you know, I've never done more than 2 hours. How do I get myself fueled during the run? How do I keep myself hydrated? How do I have a race strategy and maybe even maybe I just want to lose weight. Now you're not a dietitian, meaning you don't give diets, right? We don't give a diet plan. We don't, but I can talk to you about that and we can Absolutely. Develop something that I could use for me in right. my training as my yeah. coach. And that's what I want to make clear, guys, is no, right. we don't put out a diet plan for you. No, we don't add diets into our plans or in any way, shape or form. And we haven't really supported any kind of supplements in that regard because we don't really use them. But if you come into the membership and you have some key questions about this, this is the point of having a coach. He coaches you on everything, even down to right. how do I fuel? How do I hydrate? And how, you know, I would go to her as my coach and say, coach, I put on like 10 pounds and, you know, I'm running, you know, fine, but like it, I can feel it. I can feel it in my joints and I've got a race coming up. I mean, we would probably look at what I'm eating, right? Yeah. You know, and make sure that I'm not carbo loading and I'm not putting on too much stress onto my body because it now has 10 pounds more than it had when I started training. Those are important things, guys, that you need to talk to your coach about. And so we hope you will join the RunRx Strong is what we call it. And it's all about skill, strength, and self-care. It's really holistic. We don't add diet in there, but it is part of it. So if you do have questions and want to come in and join our membership, we hope you will. If you just have questions and you want us to answer it on the podcast, go to support@runrx.fit. That's support@runrx.fit. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.